The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So with loving kindness meditation, very often it's done using phrases, not all the time. The way I've been teaching it here, we've been using phrases. Of those of you who've been here before or have been listening online, know that the first phrase, may you be safe, may I be safe, safety. Every single person deserves safety. All of us, everybody. There are no exceptions. We all want safety. We all want to kind of live without fear. But sometimes maybe we don't really know how to create safety or what are the, how to feel happy and how to feel safe. You know, what are the conditions? What are the things that we can do so that we can have safety in our lives and help create safety for others? So one place to begin is to maybe look and examine, what have we been taught, most likely indirectly, about what it takes to be safe? What have we learned from our life experiences about what promotes safety? What kind of messages have we received, and what have we internalized? What are some of our thoughts, our ideas? Right, for some, this endless cycles of revenge, right? Does that create safety? Or maybe our telling, not big lies, but just little lies, does that create safety? What are the things that we are doing in a wish to promote safety? And often when we get quiet, when the mind settles down, and we look and we reflect, we might see that some of the things that we're doing, trying to be safe, wishing to be safe, which is perfectly natural, of course we want to be safe, maybe it isn't really helping us to feel safe. Maybe it's something that we learned, or even it's a habit, but it doesn't really support us. We may notice that when we sit down to meditate, whether it's for a loving kindness meditation, as we're going to do this evening, or another type of meditation, we may discover that the mind doesn't actually settle down in order so that we can see these things that we're doing, or these views that we have, or these beliefs that we have about what causes safety. Maybe we can't see them. Maybe we never quite settle down. There could be a number of reasons for that, but we may discover that our minds are busy. They're busy with regret. Maybe it's busy with remorse. Things, again, trying to be safe, trying to be happy. Maybe we've done things that weren't so skillful or turned out not to be helpful, or harmed ourselves, harmed somebody else. Or maybe our minds are busy with trying to keep straight. Okay, I told this little white lie over here, but now if this person tells that other person that, that's going to contradict something that I said over there. So now I have to remember to not say anything about this to that person over there, but they already know about this. And if they talk about that other thing, then I have to remember to say this. And if they bring that up, then I'm going, you know, right? So some of the things that we're doing may not, in the big picture, really kind of support a sense of well-being and ease and safety. So our minds may be busy. Or if there is a certain amount of settling of the mind, we may discover that we have somehow kind of an attitude or a posture or a stance, a certain closedness, a certain lack of openness as a way to stay safe. It's perfectly reasonable if we've been harmed in the past. Everybody has. But with this kind of closedness, we find that we may be just like running on habits. We may be not really connecting with what's actually happening, not really see the depth, the complexity, the fullness of our experience. And this running on habits can wreak havoc in our lives, not being sensitive or even knowing what's really happening. This can lead to kind of like a low-level suffering. So the more we meditate, whether it's with loving-kindness or mindfulness, the more our minds can settle and the more that we can see how we're wishing for safety and happiness and the things that we're doing to try to create that, experience that. So loving kindness meditation can help in two ways. One, it's a meditation practice that does help us quiet the mind. Sometimes having the phrases or feeling into the warmth of the heart center, it just helps create the conditions in which the mind can settle, gives the mind something else to do rather than ruminating about what we should do or what we haven't done or getting lost in a cycle of shame or something. So loving kindness meditation can really support some settling down and a feeling of well-being, which then it becomes a little bit easier to see what's actually happening in our lives. But a second way loving kindness in particular can help is that often we maybe wouldn't characterize this in our, maybe, I don't know, I'll say this. This isn't the first way that I would describe loving kindness, but the more that I think about it, the more that I think it's accurate. That loving kindness is a kind of strength. It's a kind of power. It's not necessarily the strength and the power that we usually think about. But there's something about kind of being in harmony with what's happening, being in harmony with other things in nature, that makes loving kindness not flimsy, not erratic when established, right? It does take some effort to get established. But it has a softness about it that gives it a certain strength, a certain power, a place where we can abide, that we can rest, that we can take refuge in. So with loving kindness practice, we can practice softening our hearts, opening our minds, and move more and more closer to the unconditionality of loving kindness, the boundlessness of loving kindness, the immeasurable, limitless quality of loving kindness. It's really without boundaries, a little bit different than what we might conventionally say love is, which often is specific to an object or a person. And certainly the way that I've been teaching loving kindness, we do have particular objects. But some of you may have even discovered that even if you, at the end of a loving kindness meditation, or if you let go or soften the object, there's just a feeling, a sensation, an experience of loving kindness. And that experience can be really powerful and really supportive. And there's safety there. There's safety in that experience, and there's safety from coming from that experience. I'm not saying to be a Pollyanna. I'm not saying to give up all your boundaries. I'm not saying to invite people into your life that are actually harmful. Just saying that, just notice this power or this strength that comes from kind of being with a heart of loving kindness. The softness that is there too. Allow that to support you. And allow that maybe to give you some courage to see how things really are, to see how you, the things that you do, whether they are really serving you. To be in harmony with the truth of things is really powerful. Really powerful. So with that as an introduction, we'll do some loving kindness meditation. Maybe I'll add that a third way loving kindness meditation can help support us is to help kind of support the set of boundaries, as I was just saying. Right, when we're trying to fix other people's lives or tell them what to do or something, right, that's a little bit out of our responsibilities. Of course, if we're parents, we have responsibilities for our children and other loved ones, but I think most of us know there's a time when we need to respect our own boundaries and respect other people's boundaries. So in today's meditation, we'll start with kind of the classic four phrases, and then we'll do some equanimity practice too, to kind of help support that sense of boundaries. So the way that we'll do loving kindness practice this evening is that it has three elements. I'm smiling when I say this because how many times have I said this? Quite a few times, but it's comforting for me, something this kind of the familiarity of it. So there's three aspects. The first aspect is to bring to mind a person or a being for whom we're cultivating loving kindness, for whom we have the intention to send loving kindness and well wishes. So when we bring somebody to mind, it can be in any way that makes sense to you, any way that's accessible. A vision, like a photograph that comes to mind. Maybe it's just a blurry kind of sense of somebody, or maybe it's just a somatic experience when somebody's around. In whatever way feels available for you. And you can even play around with this. Experiment. It doesn't have to be one way. I think it's playfulness to see which, how does this work? What happens when I do this? In a way that supports some settledness, so not in a way that we never quite settle down, but in a way in which we have some curiosity to support the natural inclinations of the mind. So that's the first element, bringing a person or a being to mind. The second element is the felt sense, that is like in the body. Often it's in the heart center, not always. Sometimes it's in the belly. Sometimes you may not feel anything at all and you're not even quite sure what I'm talking about. That's perfectly fine. Some people have greater sensitivity to what's happening in their body. Some people don't. That's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. If you do find that there's a sense of well-being or warmth or openness or love in the body, allow that to support you. You can dip into it. Drink from that. Allow it to nurture you. Support you. As much as you'd like. And then the third element are the phrases. I'll lead us in some phrases which you can repeat silently in your mind after me. Of course, you're welcome to make these phrases your own. There's nothing particularly magical about these phrases. They just support our intention to cultivate loving kindness. You can use different words, you can shorten them, you can do what you can play with this as well. Experiment. So we'll start with a benefactor, that is somebody for whom it's easy for you to feel love, warmth, goodwill, care, respect. Choose any of those words, all of those words. Often the benefactor is somebody for whom we have an uncomplicated relationship. Might be somebody that we don't actually know. We just may know about them. It may include religious figures. Some people like to use other creatures that just make the heart smile. Kittens, babies, puppies, chipmunks. You're welcome to use whatever. Again, you can play, you can be creative, experiment in a way that supports your practice. Then we'll move on to loving kindness for ourselves. And then we'll move on and do some equanimity practice. So we'll take an alert, upright posture in a way that supports some uprightness, but also some ease. It can be a balance to find just the right posture. Like in particular with loving kindness practice, we don't want to get in struggle with our posture, with our body. Let's do three long, slow, deep breaths as a way to connect with the body. Perhaps with the exhale, there's a soft, quiet letting go of any extra tension that's not needed. Then allowing the breath to return to normal and trusting that the body knows how to breathe. We don't have to do anything in particular to support some ease. We'll just rest our attention on those places in the body that often hold tension. You can bring your attention, your awareness, the sensation around the eyes, around the jaw, the neck. Again, nothing in particular needs to happen. Sometimes it's the case that there can be a little letting go or relaxation when we bring our awareness to parts of the body. Not always. We're not trying to force it to happen. We're not making it happen. We're just creating the conditions in which there can be some softening, a little bit of relaxation, some letting go. The shoulders, allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back. The upper back, the lower back. The chest. Perhaps you can feel something in the heart center, in the middle of your chest. The belly, allowing the belly to relax. You can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body, feeling supported, present, here. Bring your attention to your legs and your feet, the arms and hands. Then we'll start with just a few minutes of mindfulness of breathing. It can bring your awareness to the sensations of breathing. That is, the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest or the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. You can choose whichever place feels supportive, accessible, easy. There's nothing really to do here except rest our awareness on the sensations of breathing. Quite simple. If your mind drifts away, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you're failing. It just means that your mind drifted away. It doesn't have to be a problem. Just very simply, gently, bring it back to the sensations of breathing. See if you can give yourself over to the sensations of breathing. For now, there's nothing else to do. Nowhere else to be. So this practice of mindfulness of breathing, you can always come back to this practice. If you ever feel overwhelmed by emotion, if you ever feel confused about what we're doing, if for whatever reason, you can always come back to this practice. Just rest in your awareness on the sensations of breathing. And then to begin loving kindness meditation, bring to mind a benefactor or another lovable being, someone for whom it's easy, simple, to feel warmth, care, respect, good-heartedness, goodwill. You might check in with the body and see if there's a shift, a change, an opening, a softening. There may not be, but there might be. And then to support our intention, to cultivate loving kindness, to cultivate that warm heartedness. You can repeat the phrases. Again, keeping the benefactor or lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You might want to check in with the body and see if there is a warm-heartedness, this quiet, perhaps small, little feeling of warmth, openness. If so, you can allow it to get as big as it would like. You don't have to force it, you don't have to make it, and it doesn't have to get bigger. But you might allow it if it somehow does get bigger. If you don't feel anything, that's also perfectly fine. Maybe bring to mind again the benefactor. I'll be silent for a little bit. You can go at your own pace, maybe using your own words for the benefactor. Now we'll extend, expand, broaden our loving kindness to include ourselves. Sometimes it's not as easy to extend loving kindness to ourselves. So you can bring to mind either a felt sense of what it's like to sit here and now, or maybe a picture, an idea, an image of yourself, either as you are now, or perhaps when you were a child, or even a toddler. Whichever way you feel kind of supports some open-heartedness towards yourself. And again, allowing any sensations in the body, any felt sense of warmth or openness, or maybe it doesn't even make sense to talk about it in the body. Maybe there's just a general feeling of warmth, care, love. We can use this to support us, nourish us. And we'll just change the pronoun and the phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. So one way we can take care of ourselves, love ourselves, respect ourselves, is to practice equanimity with regards to recognizing that we can't make other people do things. We can't force them to make certain decisions, behave in particular ways. As much as we might try, as much as we might wish it for them, so building on this heart of warmth and care, can bring to mind somebody for whom it might be helpful for you to have some boundaries, some equanimity, some balance, so that even though you wish them to be happy, recognize that you cannot make their choices for them. They will make their own choices. They will make their own decisions. We're just beginning this. There's no need to start with the most difficult person that you perhaps would be beneficial to develop equanimity toward. We'll start where it's easier. Can bring this person to mind. Again, you might check in and see if there's a feeling of well-being, warmth, care. And for this, to support our intention for equanimity, we can repeat just this single phrase. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. And then in the last bit of this meditation, if you'd like, you could send well wishes, loving kindness, compassion to all those affected by the fires that are burning here in California and the smoke that we're breathing here, all these hundreds of miles away. May they be safe. May they find some well-being. May they experience some moments of peace. And then let's open our loving kindness meditation even bigger. Even bigger. May all beings be safe. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings live with ease. Yeah, feeling safe is such an integral part of well-being. What do we do to try to help ourselves feel safe? How can we help others feel safe? Both from external harm and from internal harm. From outside forces, other people, other institutions, other whatever it might be, as well as internally the self-critical voice, the internalized, non-supportive voices we might have. Something that we can do is learn to quiet the mind as best we can and just investigate. How does it feel to feel safe? How does it feel when we don't feel safe? What kind of things help us feel this greater ease that safety allows? And maybe something will bubble up and it'll become clear how we can help support other people feeling safe. Either literally or figuratively. So now I'd like to open it up for some comments or some questions about the practice or the way we did it today or some of the things I said earlier. I think, there's a microphone here. If we can you send the microphone this way? There we go.
I was really struggling with the last part, not the last part, the second to the last part about I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. The kind of implicit in that sentence was that if I could make your choices for you, I know the way for you to be happy. And I had struggled a lot with that phrase, and I finally converted it or adapted it to be, I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. Because it really felt to me like it was saying, if you just did it my way, it would all be fine. So I sort of had to get out of the picture, and then those two parts of the sentence could coexist.
I think that's great. And that's, you know, as I was saying this, it felt like, oh, I don't have something quite right here. I like what you did there. And it's possible that's what I've done. And, yeah. It's possible I've done that in the past. Because I agree with you. It does kind of imply, like, I know better. Just listen to me. And sometimes we do have that feeling, but that's not what this is necessarily about. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, can we send a microphone over here? But it's just helpful. Some people are using hearing-assisted devices.
Okay. Is it on? Oh, okay. I found it, like, my body felt different and more open for the for the people in the fires. One, like, I felt more open, like I was actually, like, giving something. And then also just more anonymously, kind of broadly, you know, wishing... I had problems with, like, not just, like, the emotional and the body and the spiritual feeling for the other three. So it was interesting.
Yeah, that's fantastic that you noticed that kind of when we get maybe into a little bit more abstract, like, the, you know, all these people that are affected, that somehow sometimes it's easier than if we have an individual. Yeah, that's great. That may not always be the case. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
In what sense is a benefactor a benefactor?
Yeah. Benefactor is such a kind of an odd word, right? It's not in my usual vocabulary.
Because it seems it can mean many different things, right? Not even necessarily people.
Yeah. So I think classically, historically, it was somebody who supported you, like if the monastic community, like a lay person that supported you. So I think that's the origin of the sentiment. But the way that we use it now is somebody just for whom you just have tremendous appreciation or respect, love, care, warmth. But some people also are finding, you know, really we're just trying to cultivate this feeling, this experience of loving kindness, so it doesn't actually need to be a person. So some traditions, and we'll even talk about like the warmth of the sun, feeling that, and somehow opening yourself to that, or you know, something else a little bit more abstract. So you're welcome to play around with this and experiment and see what's helpful for you. Again, we're just trying to cultivate loving kindness, and I think we don't have to be rigid with these.
It's one of those unusual cases where the end might justify the means.
Yes. And of course, I think, and I've mentioned this a few times, that classically we would start with yourself, with the understanding that that's the easiest. But, you know, it turns out maybe not to be the easiest here in, you know, the contemporary West. I think historically that was the assumption that, of course, it's, you love yourself a lot. So we've kind of reversed the order here. But some places they still teach it with the self first. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Well, I wish you all safety. And I'd like to dedicate any goodness that we generated here today to those people in the fires. I just, my heart feels really heavy with this, what's happening. So I wish you all a wonderful evening. Thank you.